Well, good morning, everybody. This is the lesson 24. We do have 25 lessons. So I'll be speaking on next week on the last two chapters. But for now, we're going to study chapters 62, 63, and 64 of Isaiah. The prophet uses strong imagery in these chapters. First, in chapter 62, we have the image of a groom taking back his estranged bride. Then in chapter 63, we have the image of the warrior savior who will defeat the enemies who are trying to keep the restoration of Jerusalem and Judah from happening. And as we move into chapter 64, we get the image of the potter with the clay and a cry or lament from the prophet to the Father on behalf of the Israelites. So I want to unpack these images to see what they mean, not only to the Israelite people of the time, but for us today. The marriage of a bride and groom is really a covenant action. A covenant is an agreement, and in marriage, the agreement is to love one another. That means setting aside your wants and needs and putting the other person first. Loving means to die to self for the other. For those who have been married or are married, you understand that with contracts, agreements are 50-50. But with marriage, rarely there is a 50-50 thing going on. Usually there are times when the groom is giving 90% and the bride giving 10%. And then it flip-flops and the bride is giving 90% and the groom is giving 10%. It's a daily walk with each other, and it is a constant work of dying to oneself. The work can be joy-filled and delightful, but sometimes the work is very hard and calls for a listening ear, lots of communication, and definitely forgiveness. In my own marriage, there are times when I may be frustrated with my husband, but even then, the love never dies. Then there are times when I'm overwhelmed with my love for him, and he truly is my delight. So much so that I can forget that I was ever frustrated with him in the first place. For those of you who know Bob, you can understand. So can you see where I'm going with this? We have a scripture that is describing the relationship with God and us as a marriage. Just like the Israelites, we are God's delight. That doesn't mean he doesn't experience frustration. But the covenant he made with us means that God's love for us never dies, never leaves, is always present. Just as he had frustration with the Israelites in Isaiah's time, I'm sure he gets frustrated with us. God created us in love, gave us a choice to love back. How wonderful it is to be God's delight. Why would we choose anything else? In chapter 63, we are confronted with the image of a warrior working all by himself to defeat the enemy. There's a very vibrant description of the Lord warrior coming back from battle with clothes soaked with the enemy's blood. The prophet is trying to make a point to the Israelites that no nation will stop God's plan. God will restore Judah, and that is that. In the latter part of the chapter, the prophet gives a reminder to the Israelites of all that God has done for his people, and that it was the lack of faith from the Israelites that put the Israelites in this position. God shows mercy. Come on, Israelites, get on board. We have a God who will fight our battles. All he wants from us is for us to follow his ways. His ways are life, not death. His ways take us from captivity to freedom. For the Israelites, this is literal. They were slaves in Egypt. They were captives in Babylonia. God calls them back. For us, we're slaves to our vices. Everyone can think of some sin, some crutch, some vice that they use to fill the God-sized hole that's in their heart. Isaiah is saying to the Israelites, it's time to lay down your idols and follow the God warrior, the God of mercy, the God who frees us from captivity and live the light of God's freedom. The message is the same today. It's time for us to lay down our idols too, to follow God into battle against the temptations of our day, to recognize God's mercy in our lives, to live in the freedom of God's light. The time is now. As we move to chapter 64, we have the image of the potter and the clay. If you've ever worked with clay on a wheel, you would know how delicate one needs to be when creating a functional work of art. That is what we are, you know, we're functional works of art. Okay, funny story. When I was little, I got a toy potter's wheel. It was a battery-operated plastic wheel with which I could supposedly make pots. Think Easy Bake Oven for pottery. Battery-operated plastic wheel did not help me make the beautiful works of art that I had envisioned as an 8-year-old child. Fast forward to my time as a single woman in my 30s. Lots of time on my hands, a lot of free nights, if you know what I mean. I took a pottery class or two at Callenwald. I always thought it would be fun, so why not? It was fascinating. First, you have to picture in your mind what you want to make. Then you have to figure out the type of clay, how much clay will give you the best results. Then you knead the clay to make sure there's no air pockets in it. This step is painfully long and boring, but the best results come from the much needed clay. Next, you literally throw it on the wheel. It has to stick on the wheel or it'll fly off when you start spinning the wheel. Then the balancing act of maintaining the right amount of water on the clay and your hands. The speed of the wheel, the pressure you place on the clay to begin to mold what you have in mind to make. Patience is definitely needed at this point. You have to move the clay up from its firm foundation into the shape that is needed. The walls of whatever you are creating has to be the same thickness from the bottom to the top or the pot will collapse on itself. Then once the shape is the way you want it, you have to cut it away from the wheel, glaze it, and then put it in fire to make it strong so it can stand the test of time. The one piece I have held onto is a bowl. My husband uses it for loose change. Certainly not the museum piece that I thought, but it's functional and it's strong and has lasted for quite a few years. The potter goes through many steps. It's with much patience and dedication, and I dare say a little love to get the finished piece. So what about the clay? It has to be moldable. It has to accept the process of being kneaded and thrown, then watered. It needs to accept the pressure of the hands that will mold it. It must be willing to be put to the test of fire and come out on the other side intact. It must be willing to become something new with a new purpose. It must be strong so that it can do what it was made to do for all time. In chapter 64, 7 through 8, Isaiah's final plea begins, "Yet, Lord, you are the Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Do not be so very angry, Lord. Do not remember our crimes forever. Look upon us, who are all your people." So Isaiah spends chapter 63 reminding the Israelites who God is and all that God has done for them. And now I get the sense that Isaiah realized that the people just don't seem to be getting it. So he turns to the Lord to remind the Lord, "Hey, I'm telling them all about you, but they don't seem to be getting it. So please, just show your mercy. You made us in the first place. Please don't leave us." Poor Isaiah. What a roller coaster ride. But here's my takeaway from all of this. God, our Father, is the master potter, the master creator. He took the time and patience to make each one of us as a unique work of art. We are made for a purpose. Each of us kneaded, thrown, watered, shaped, and molded with loving hands. Our Father had a picture in his mind of what we would become. He knew what he had in mind when making us. And if we look back in our lives at the times that we've been tested in fire, did we not come out stronger? Did we not come out with a clearer understanding of what God's plan for us truly is? We need to continue to be open to the kneading, watering, molding that our Lord wishes to do in our lives. We need to willingly accept those times in our lives when we are tested and know that the Father's hand is there to help us through. Opening ourselves to the Father's hand will allow us to truly become the work of art that God had in mind when he started working on us. Isaiah cries out to God and asks for his mercy. Every time we pray the Our Father, do we take the time to think about what we're asking? I'd like to close this commentary on a meditation of Our Father. So I ask you to close your eyes and meditate on these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, you are our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer. Hallowed be thy name. Lord, we lift your name on high and sing praises to you, our one true God. Your name is above all names, and we give you praise. Thy kingdom come. We look forward to the coming of your kingdom, but we will work toward it today by living our lives as you wish us to live. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we work toward the coming of the kingdom of God by conforming our lives to your will. With these words, Lord, we ask for your help to know and carry out your will for our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. We only ask for what is essential for our everyday life. Give us only what will nourish our bodies, but also our souls. Bread for our bodies, and the Eucharist for our souls. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us, but only after we have forgiven the others in our life who have sinned against us. We beg you, Lord, to show us mercy, not because we deserve it, but rather because we do not. May we first show mercy towards others, especially when we think that we do not deserve it, that they do not deserve it. And lead us not into temptation. We ask you, Lord, do not allow us to enter into temptation, and do not let us yield to temptation. Be with us and keep us strong when we face such trials. Deliver us from evil. Free us from all evils, present, past, and future. And we pray this prayer with a full heart of love for you, Lord. May you hear these petitions and show us your grace, mercy, and never-ending love. Amen. Well, I hope that was a good thing. Our Father.